DW.
We try to just come up with some glimpses and tell personal stories of different people who are all in a way connected to the topic of Salafism. Mm-hmm. We are very proud that we got the chance to talk to one of the preachers here in Bonn. He's a Moroccan-born German who's very famous in the scene, and he used to be one of the leading figures in those lease campaign when they were handing out free Quran copies to people in the streets. And he never talks to journalists, mm-hmm. basically. But one of my colleagues, she talked to him a few years back when they were still out in the open. And so she reactivated this contact, and he was actually willing to talk to her. So that's like a very exclusive insight into the mm-hmm. scene. Also,
okay, perhaps if we just listen in to what he has to say, just have a short clip.
There is no room for negotiation when it comes to religion, not even a millimeter, whatever the cost. Why are people scared of Islam? I think it's mainly because those in power, the politicians, know that Islam is the truth. And I believe that if they left us in peace and didn't interfere with it, a lot more people would convert to Islam.
Okay, so very black and white rhetoric from that Salafist preacher right there, who's one of the main protagonists in your series. But before we carry on, Esther, I think maybe we should give our listeners a short fact sheet on the various forms of Salafism and also some statistics for Germany.
What is Salafism?
The term is derived from the word al-Salaf al-Sali, which translates to the pious predecessors. Salafism can be understood as a quest to live as the first three generations of Muslims did.
What are the different interpretations of Salafism?
Broadly speaking, there are three branches of Salafism. The traditionalists, who focus on the purification of the faith and strive to keep non-Islamic influences out of their lives. Then there are the politicos, who reject democratic processes such as elections and seek to spread their understanding of Islam throughout society at large. The third and most dangerous group is the jihadis, or Salafist terrorists. Unlike the other branches, they consider violence a legitimate means of pushing their religious and political beliefs. They don't only consider the Western world as an enemy, but also other Muslims who don't share their views.
What do we know about Salafism in Germany?
According to the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, there were some 10,800 Salafists in Germany in December 2017, the majority of them political Salafists. In the past years, some 960 have travelled to Syria and Iraq. Around a fifth of them are women. Roughly one-third have since returned to Germany. The Federal Office of Criminal Investigation says there are some 690 Islamists in Germany that could pose a threat to public safety.
Now, Esther, as we just heard, the Salafist scene is rather multifaceted, and a significant number of Salafists are considered a threat to public safety. Against this backdrop, just how difficult was your research? How difficult was it for you and your colleagues to get into the scene? They're not terribly fond of journalists, are they?
Yes, right. It was maybe the most difficult research we ever did. So what we did was the obvious thing. We first started to call like prevention networks or de-radicalization networks the police, state security, or the Federal Office for the Protection of the State. Those are like the people you talk to first, just to get a feeling. And from there, you can kind of spread your wings and dig deeper. Because once you have contacts to someone and you build up trust, they might be able to get you in contact with other people. And so that's what we did. It was like a snowball system, kind of. And then also we created a Facebook account, my colleague Matthias von Hein and me, which was especially built for this research. So we followed preachers like Pierre Vogel, who was like the most influential convert preacher in Germany, maybe.
Mm. He's also monitored by the authorities, isn't he?
Right, right, yeah. So we created this Facebook account, and I tried to get in contact with people, especially with women. So I just wrote to them. I sent them a friend request telling them that I was a journalist and that I was doing some research on Salafism and whether they wanted to talk to me. Most of the people, of course, didn't. But in some cases, we were actually lucky. And in one case, we got really lucky and we met one of the protagonists of the series.
Und da fing dann der Kampf an, dass mich beschimpfte, ich sei eine...
And that's when the battle began. He started laying into me, calling me an infidel and telling me I didn't understand my religion and that he was ashamed of me. No matter where you go, you're the loser, the mother who failed, you're the mother of, you're the terrorist, you're the Islamist, you're the Salafist.
Man ist der Terrorist, man ist Islamist, man ist Salafist, man ist einfach, um es auf den Punkt zu bringen, scheiße.
The story that touched me most was, for sure, the Sabine Lappe story. She was the woman that I got to know via Facebook. And while we chatted, it turned out that she actually was the mother of a young man who joined the IS in Syria, who went there with his wife and who was killed fighting near Homs in the fall of 2017. So... I went to Dortmund, one of the cities, big cities in North Rhine-Westphalia where she lives, and I got to talk to her. It was very hard at first because she didn't trust me and she had never talked to the press before, but somehow we kind of connected. I actually met her in her apartment. She lived in a very small apartment and his kaftan was still hanging on the door. And she said, this is going to stay here forever because that's like all I have. There's no pictures in the apartment of him, but still there's some kind of presence that you feel because all her life is about him. She doesn't have anyone else. She's also a convert. She converted together with him in 2012. He was ill at that time and he had a very serious surgery. And when he made it through, he decided that he wanted to thank God in a different way than before. He was brought up Catholic, so he never was in touch with Islam or anything. But then he decided to go back to school after he was healthy again. And he met some people from Morocco and Turkey, and they were Muslims, and they kind of, you know, infected him, maybe. So he started going to the mosque and telling his mother he was going to convert. And she herself was struggling at that time, looking for a new sense of life. And so she just came with him and they both converted. She herself describes herself as a moderate Muslima, but he radicalized quite quickly. She said he was very conservative from the start and he was angry with her when she still went to the German market and talked to German men. So, and over hours, she tells me the story of his life, which is in big parts also the story of her life, and how she basically lost her child. Mm. And that's the personal struggle that was what, you know, got to me most. Because on the one hand, he's a terrorist, and she's very clear about that. She says he's done terrible, terrible things. But on the other hand, he's her son. And she says, I will always love him. You know, this struggle that she describes of trying to get him back and not to lose him completely, and the fear of the phone ringing, which it actually did one day, and just having to listen to the news that your child is dead, that was just, you know, that was hard.
Having done this series, Esther, how serious would you say is the Salafist threat in Germany? Is it just a fringe movement, or is this something that could be growing at a faster rate than we might expect?
Well, that's difficult to answer because the scene has been changing so much. The beginning, like 2003, 2004, it started very little. And then by now we have like about 11,000 Salafists. But the scene has been changing so much. At first, it was mostly about the converts who went out to the streets, to the marketplaces, and gave out those free Quran copies. And then we had a phase, like the heydays of Salafism here, when everyone was trying to recruit people to go to Syria and join the Islamic State and fight for the caliphate. And by now, the scene is invisible, mostly. But we have the problem of returnees and also dropouts where you don't know, you know, what they stand for, whether they are still bearers of the ideology or whether they have left and moved on. And that's like very hard for the authorities to trace, especially with the women. There's a lot of women who come back, and women with children, small children, who go to institutions here. We talked to people here in Bonn, and without giving names, they said, yes, this is happening already. We have children who've been raised in the caliphate and who go to kindergarten here or to elementary school. Mm. And what do you know what those children have seen, what they have experienced? So this is like a huge challenge for the whole society to tackle, and you know, because you never know what they have in mind. And there's even Salafist family networks by now where the whole families are like infiltrated. That's what the authorities told us.
Mm. Esther, at the end of this interview, I'd like to give you the opportunity to tease your own series yourself. Why should people tune into it in the coming weeks? What's your strongest argument for it?
Well, I think, I mean, a lot of stories have been written about Salafism, but what we tried to do was we tried to portray real people and tell their personal stories. We don't give like a complete picture, that's impossible. But what we tried was to give them a voice, and we don't judge, we just describe. And I think that's what makes this worthwhile listening.
Perfect. And that description actually has WorldLink written all over it, because we also do the personal stories. Esther Fehlen, thank you very much for joining me in the studio today. And yeah, all the best with the series.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This report was brought to you by DW.